Hello, and welcome to recording number 2 of Gary Gygax's Sea of Death, an annotated reading. Today is September 1st, 2021. Previously, we had just seen Grazd and Yggvil, Zygmoy, Uz, Kachi, and Yanogo, all drawn into this null space created or summoned up by Yggvil. And they're supposed to discuss, the sharing of the second Theopart. But really, it's more that Grazd wants it for himself. Yggvil doesn't want to give it up, even to her son, Uz. And they start arguing, and then it becomes belligerent. And they start summoning demons and back and forth. And their very presence, this overwhelming presence, causes the null space to start to shatter. And Yggvil realizes, and then Grazd realizes, that that may even be able to harm all of them. So we are now back just after that beginning of a little fight there. And we're going to start on page 18, paragraph 2. The presence of a few spectators does not seem to threaten the integrity of this place, Yggvil announced sternly. The others took her at her word, accepting that she knew more of the nature of this null space than any of them did. The witch continued, concern and sincerity evident in her tone, but they must be spectators only. They are freed to leave or stay. And while they stay, they can see us and our actions, but cannot decipher our words. This place was meant for us alone, and only we can fully communicate with one another. The others could move to attack. If anyone foolishly directs them to do so, we cannot be sure that any of us will persevere if this place is torn asunder. The witch was clearly overwrought by the time she finished this lecture. For a moment or two, a strange silence enveloped the weird pocket of null space, as all those present weighed the importance of Yggvil's words. "Now we must talk, not quarrel," Yggvil said, sweetly, regaining her composure. "Yes, yes," said Grazd, with a tinge of sarcasm. "By all means, let us return to our amiable parley." He guffawed. Then his tone turned serious again as he continued, addressing Yggvil. "Your treacherous behavior is, as always, dear human, so monumental, your expectations so incredible, that I am most amused." Even as it was, the repulsive toad hopping about on that pile of fungus tipped the balance in your favor, 4-3. Fortunately for all of you, that worthless creature is of no consequence, and I could dispatch it with a single gesture if I chose. But now Shoesblocks comes, another matter altogether. Do you really think we will consent to that puddle of slime joining the conclave? Your madness and lust are what bring conflict between us always. Yggvil replied condescendingly. The toad is obviously a niggling, just as are the harlots you enjoy surrounding yourself with. As for the demon of slime, I should hardly have to point out that Zuckmoy's dear kinsman was not some agent brought to attack. Sujbox was nothing more than a late arrival. Your words are dung, crone of crones, Grazd retaliated. We agreed to equality of force to assure no tricks. It was to be 3-3. Shuzblox is the third, interjected Zuckmoy, shooting forth a cloud of four spores as she spoke. Katschi sneered at this remark and issued his own rejoinder. You're too stupid to even think straight, Queen of Rot. Zakmoy returned the insult by simply ignoring the demon's statement. Yggville spoke next and further demeaned Hachi by again addressing Grazd. "I'm a disinterested party," she explained patiently. "How can I be else as the mother of your own beloved son? Therefore, Zakmoy, Shuzblock, and dear Uz are the three, just as you and your two thanes make a trio." Yanogu threw back his ugly head and issued a series of giggling, yowling barks to demonstrate his rage. Kachki's skin took on a dark mustard color as he too flushed with rage at Yggville's words. He hefted his huge iron hammer and strode toward the gorgeous-looking Grand Witch. It was evident that he meant to destroy Yggville's beauty in one blow, but before he could get close enough to bring himself and his target into conflict, Grazd intervened. "Stay, Marshal of the Abyss," ordered the Demon Prince. "You too, Viceroy, contain thine ire. The woman speaks with hubris, but such petty insults and twisted words are to be expected. Refrain from your actions. I will handle this." Both great demons glared at Grazd as he spoke, but they slowly brought their anger under control. Yanogo continued to snarl, baring his fangs. Kostchichi glared but lowered his hammer to a less threatening position. "You and your cohorts are four," Grazd continued, "but since you and your sprat are best equal one, I shall be generous and allow your attempt to disturb the parity of this conference to stand." Yggville only smiled sarcastically at the Demon Prince's blustering words. Uz, however, showed that Graz's statement stung him. The Cambion's skin turned an angry maroon, and he retorted, "We shall see who makes what, Grazit. Give me your demon horde now, and all Earth will be mine." All right. Now was the so-called king's turn to retaliate. "Give me the Theopart, boy, and you shall have 10,000 of my fiercest demons at your beck and call." "What? How dare?" Us's angry words were cut short by Grazd. "I am now king," the great ebon demon thundered. "I dare anything. A dozen layers of the abyss bow to my will, and a dozen more are tributary. Orcus cowers from me. Mandrilligon hides rather than face me on the battlefield. Still Prince Lugash remains uncommitted. Ablitus in Marduk's stall, and Var as Hul, and his lickspittle dogs, Chidan, Zomar, and Ubiri, war upon us. Should Bulamuz and Azazel happen to make cause with them, our advance will be checked." Then that fat sheephead Orcus and the freakish Mandrilligon will crawl forth once more to claim power here and there. Grazd paused, smiled at the Cambion he had sired, and then said, "Thus, dear son, your father does properly demand that you give filial obedience to him so that he may shed his glory upon his offspring thereafter. Give me the Theopart." Drawing himself up to his own considerable height, Uz rebutted the statements just made by the newly proclaimed king. "Know you, Grazit, that I am now Emperor of the Flaness. True, some petty kingdoms still need to be subjugated, but the north is mine, the west is under siege, and the heartlands will soon fall under the might of my hand. Despite such sweeping victories, the Theopart must remain with me. Erdi is marshalling legions of devils, while the scarlet scum hide hierarchs and recruits enemies of Uz. and the abyss as well, pointing an accusing finger at the huge, six-fingered demon who was his progenitor, the Cambion demanded, "You will detail forces to me so that my conquest of Earth can be completed in the face of my our enemies." "Bah, you blither weakling words," Graz shot back with a sneer, stretching his handsome if demonic face. "You will give me the Theopart as I have ordered you to do. As a faithful vassal, dear Uz, my son, I will furnish you with horde upon horde of my demons as soon as all of the abyss bows to my might." "That will be eons from now, if ever," Yggdrasil retorted smugly. Kostchichi grunted angrily and hefted his iron hammer. "Lying in perverse old human bag, bow to the will of King Grest, or by all unholy, you bandy-legged bastard, my fungi will feed upon your filthy yellow flesh," Zugmoy said as she altered shape, and strange buds began to form on the mass of her body. "You are wrong, Toadstool," Yanogo growled as he lifted his terrible flail and advanced. "I'll spread bits and spores across this no-place so that your little mushrooms will be without a head." With this, the hyena-headed demon vented his awful giggling bark as a battle cry. Shuzblox spread forth slimy pseudopods to counter Yanogo's threat, while Grast faced off against the hard-visaged Yggdrasil and livid Uz. The lesser demons still in attendance could see what was happening. They assumed ferocious postures, but held back, for they had not been commanded to take part and no actual combat had occurred. They were powerless to affect the course of events, but it was apparent to them that in a moment the null space would become a war ground of unimaginable sort. "It had to come to this," Grastic grated harshly, and he raised his huge sword. "You are at least right about that," Uz snarled back, hefting his own weapon. "Both of you stop." The last came from Yggdrasil, who in the space of an eye blink had placed herself between the two rivals. Uz was stunned at this, instantly suspecting some treachery against him on the part of his mother. Graz, too, a victim once of the mighty powers of this human terror, seemed surprised and disconcerted. Yggdrasil's move was sufficient to make both Demon and Cambion pause. The break. So, they're throwing out a lot of the demonic names, and Chris says it's an abyssal who's who. And for the most part, we have a handful of named demons right here of different powers. Grast, he was a controller of this one plane, the 333rd plane of the abyss, Mesofundurun or something like that. And he's been expanding. Now, Yanogo is the demon lord of Knolls. And I think most of us may have seen pictures of him. I think he might be in Monster Manual 2 as a large, skinny Knoll bearing a powerful flail. And then we have Kostchichi. And he is from an icy area, may even be a plane, in one of the planes of the abyss. They are allies now, subordinate to Grast. We've heard them talk of Orcus, who I think we all know. And then they've talked of various heads of the abyss here, in the, such as Marduk, who was actually... is a human Assyrian god, and we've heard Now there's Zuckmoy, who, you know, was imprisoned in the Temple of Elemental Evil. Yeah, and Chris has just posted Demon Lord of Gnolls, Yanogu. And I think that's either 2 or 1, Monster Manual 2, I think. Next to them is Yggdrasil, who is the Mother of Uz, and said to be one of the oldest humans and most powerful witches. Monster Manual 1. Now there's Shuzblogs, and he is the cousin of Zuckmoy, and is also one of these fungi kind of creatures at heart. Now, Zuckmoy, she can turn herself into a beautiful woman, but here her aspect is of a toadstool or a pile of fungi. Then we have Mandrilligan, and he is kind of like, I believe he's got the mandrel head. Now, I know that Demogorgon also has a mandrel double head, but I believe Mandrilligan is... Mandrilligan, in fact, may be a term for Demogorgon, because what's happened is Gygax has had to use some different names for characters. Now, there's a Lugush, who is a demon prince, Eblitesis, another one that is from a little more mentioned, is Varazhul. We got a picture of Coach Shishi and his hammer, and showing him ankle deep in the snow. Now, Varazhul, I remember being mentioned in other products, and there is his servants, Shidan, Zomar, and Uibiri. There's more powerful ones, Ulamuz and Azazel. Now, Azazel is, one of these, Christian demons. And I'm not sure who Bulamuz is. So, here we're getting a huge list of various demons, and we're getting a little descriptions back and forth here, but really giving you, very little to go on except some name dropping at this point. But we are given a list of who is against them. All right. All right, I'm going to restart. It's page 22 and the last paragraph. If we fight among ourselves, even if some of us survive the battle, all of our enemies profit, said the witch. Think on it, Grast. Orcus and all those in the abyss would be jubilant. Consider us, what comfort this will give to the hierarchs and the brotherhood and the others. The hells will rejoice. Hades, Tartarus, and Gehenna will hold revels. The scum in the upper plains will vaunt, and the lordlings of Earth's kingdoms will be reprieved. If we are to prevail, then we must cooperate. Fight now, and those who wish to oppose our ends will do so and succeed. Wise words, greatest of witches, Grasset said, as he lowered his massive blade a little. Yet the resolution of matters can go but one way. Yes, Uz concurred, and I shall retain what is mine. As this brief conversation took place, the hostile groups had continued to glare at and threaten one another, but no actual violence occurred. Good, good, Yggdrasil cackled, gently as the commotion diminished slightly. The sound seeming exceptionally strange and gruesome, coming from so lovely a throat. Then, With much more forcefulness, she added, "Both sides, cease your foolish displays." After the antagonists had calmed down, Yggdrasil spoke again. "You are both right and wrong," she said, "grasped in us at the same time." The demon prince glowered at this, and the Cambion spat, but the Theopart. But the witch ignored both of them and went on. "Uz has the Theopart, and since he is weaker than you are, dear Gratz, he must retain it now and forever." Gratz drew in his breath to spew forth an outraged reply to this, but Yggdrasil cut off his tirade before it could begin. "Wait, there is more than one Theopart, Gratz, and you might still have another," she said. "You know as well as I do that the dung-eating brotherhood holds it." The demon king grumbled. "Even I cannot wrest it from that pack of curs. Its own power and the weight of the dukes of hell combine to stop me." Yggdrasil nodded, accepting the truth of that statement, and smiling, she pointed out a new fact. "This portion of the artifact held by the Scarlet Brotherhood is a Theopart, but it isn't the one I speak of. The final portion remains hidden somewhere." Grast frowned. "You expect me to traipse off in search of that?" He sent forth a bellowing, booming laugh filled with mockery and derision. "I am to use my strength to chase shadows, all the while held fast in my own plane, for the conjoined enemies you will no doubt encourage will be able to attack and overthrow me. You think I am so gullible, a fool as that, Yggdrasil. For such I will have most sweet revenge, Bag." "Consider, consider," said the witch, unimpressed as usual with the demon's outburst. "Be not so hasty, Grast. What if my own dear friend and associates, Queen Zuckmoy, and her brother, Prince Shublox, were to become your unswerving allies?" "Allies? Upon certain conditions, of course." All right, break. Chris has just put up, I believe, the Monster Manual 2. It has been put up, commented on. And I'd always looked at this picture, and I can see where his elbow is supposed to be now, an arm. But it always looked like he only had one arm to me at first glance. You know, grasped right here in this picture. Now, we have this from the Monster Manual. "One of the most powerful demon rulers of the Abyss is Grast, lord of an entire lair and dedicated foe of both Demogorgon and Orcus. He was, in fact, waging a winning battle against the troglodyte Harpy and Bar Iguara. At a crucial moment, however, Grast was magically taken to the prime material plane and forced into bondage by a mighty magic user. He battled free at the cost of being confined to his own plane for a century. Grazit is served by Lamaya's, and will always have from 1 to 3 with him, and at all times, is also likely to have 1 to 3 succubi, or a type 6 demoness with him in his lair." That is actually who Yggdrasil was referring to. Pardon me. Excuse me. Referring to when she was talking about his lust and his harlots that are with him. Right now in the null space, he has several Lamaya and succubi. And he has, like, his little pleasure palace in his abyssal realm. Now, most of these... he's living large. Most of the demons and such, they do not seem to control an entire plane of the abyss. Now, Grast has his own, as his home base, but he has... It's hard to tell. Now, it originally, I think it said in this book that he had 8 under his control. Then he said now 12, with 12 more that are kind of bowing to his power. And I believe in the last book, there was something about 36 planes of the abyss under his control. So that number goes up and down, and it could be just puffery on his part about how much he controls. It could be that this control back and forth, that he loses control and gains power, because and there's also a question of how big these planes are. Like, are they as big as the Prime Material, or are they something like the Cat Lord's realm, which is a very small, small plane? All right. All right. I'm going to restart. It's page 24, and the third paragraph from the end. Rat swiveled his massive head and peered at the fungoid demon. Zuckmoy somehow managed to convey an attitude of cooperation, despite any recognizable means of doing so. The ebon-hued giant pondered this, one six-fingered hand stroking a square jaw as he reflected on what had been offered. "You guarantee me alliance, and the last part of the great artifact," he asked Yggdrasil, seeking confirmation at the promise. Now, it's commented here that, what they've mentioned, that the layers of the abyss in this setting are only 666, so they're not infinite. Now, 33 layers doesn't seem too much to me either. But then again, like I said, I know at least one layer that is one individual creature, the entire layer. So it's really hard to tell the powers of these various layers of the abyss, what demons had controlled them. Now, Grast is really moving ahead, trying to, take control, but he's still only about, a lot, about 5% of the entire, and there may be other alliances or individual demons who are as powerful, who could actually threaten him. The three symbolism and the six symbolism is very much, through a lot of things. Uz has his three sixes, his servants, who are the greater six, the lesser six, and the hidden six. So there's a lot of, they're supposed to be demons, and there's a lot of demonic symbolism in a lot of things that they're doing. All right. I'm going to restart. It's page 24, second paragraph from the end. The witch cackled, delighted at having piqued the demon's interest. "Not just so, Grast," she said. "I mentioned conditions. The alliance is under terms which are acceptable to Zuckmoy. So should likewise be acceptable to you. The final portion of the artifact is to be awarded to the winner of a contest, let us say. I have discovered the hiding place of the last Theopart. To the first to hold it goes the prize." "Stop lauding yourself once, wife, and give details of these terms and conditions you prate of," Grast said with irritation, to hide his grudging respect for and fear of this terrible human woman who could make even great demons shudder. Yggdrasil launched into the explanation of her plan. First, Grast and Zuckmoy would contest with each other, both attempting to claim the last part of the artifact from its hiding place. Then, once the Theopart was gained, regardless of which faction held it, both Grast and Zuckmoy would send their strength to aid Uz. The Scarlet Brotherhood, even with all of its legions of devils and swarming daemons, would be unable to withstand the Cambion's combined might, backed as it would be by the hordes of the Abyss, and the power of two of the theoparts, the one already at Uz's disposal, plus the one to be sought, the portion of the artifact now held by the Brotherhood would be gained in this conflict, and would then go to whichever side did not have one, Grast or Zuckmoy. Thus, once husband, you will rule all the abyss in conjunction with Zuckmoy, concluded Yggdrasil. King Grazit will hold sway over that portion you and Queen Zuckmoy agree to, and vice versa, each of you with a theopart. Why be so generous? The dark demon asked suspiciously, for Yggdrasil was never to be trusted. Self-preservation, what else? She replied. The three portions of the key must never be joined. When each of you have one part, neither you nor Zuckmoy will desire to have the portion remaining with Uz. The abyss will be safe, and Uz is but a reflection of it. You know, I will see to it that he conquers and reigns supreme over all Earth. Our power, the might of the abyss, will spread over the multiverse. Grast turned to confer with his lieutenants at this point, and both of them gave forth exclamations of joy and merriment. Here indeed was a plan that would bring to both sides all that could be desired. They told their leader. Of course, it went without saying, at some time in the centuries to come, one of them, Grast or Zuckmoy, would emerge as sole ruler. But time would see to that. The Black Demon Prince listened to his cohorts with one ear, forming a conclusion of his own at the same time. Then the ever-suspicious Grast brought the celebration to a halt. All right, I'm going to break here. Wilva, yes, I like that. That the short name here for Yggdrasil is Wilva, and she is considered to be perhaps the most powerful human on Earth. And I definitely think Mordenkainen, you know, one of the interesting things is that Kainen part, Mordenkainen, that Kainen is a very Finnish name, so Mordenkainen seems Finnish. And Yggdrasil, Gygax also has her named Louis from the powerful witch in Finnish mythology. So I've always wondered if there is a connection between Yggdrasil and Mordenkainen. All right. All right, I'm going to restart. And it is page 26, a second paragraph from the top. A stench like blooming flowers fills my nostrils, he said to Yanogo and Kostchichi. Why does this human pit us against each other in a contest for what she claims she knows how to get? Why must we be opponents before we can be allies? The bitch seeks to gull us, to have us exterminate each other so that she can take the theopart for herself. Well thought, Grast the Clever, Yggdrasil spat, that you are still ignorant of certain facts. Who spoke of knowing, of getting? Mark you all, it is in my knowledge as to its location, and I am also aware under what conditions the portion of the key can be gained, but I cannot myself obtain it directly. Nor can any of your ilk, demonlings. For a change, Grast absorbed the substance of Yggdrasil's response, instead of reacting to her choice of words, or the tone in which they were delivered. This concerns the contest, he said, after a moment of deliberation. Pardon me one moment, I gotta shut this door. Sorry, there was huge storm just hit me. Now, I get this feeling. Yes, I agree. There's a comet. She has to be more powerful than Morty. Well, she actually has that second Thea part, too. Now, I get the feeling here that, yes, she is more powerful than Morden Kanan. We encountered Morden Kanan at the end of Artifact of Evil. And while very powerful, even he had trouble standing up to a greater demon or greater devil. Greater demon summoned up by one of the Ormas, the magic user who was one of the Uz's greater six. So I think Yggdrasil's just a notch up there from Morden Kanan. And now with the Thea part, she's immensely powerful. Now, I get this feeling, now, even Grast, because even Grast is fearful of her, and he mentions that he was under her power at one point. Now, I get this feeling that she's also much smarter than Grast. There's been a couple commentaries, and I think that a lot of what we're reading shows Grast has these quick reactions to things. And I don't think he's quite up to the intelligence level of Yggdrasil. All right. I'm going to restart. It's page 26 and the second paragraph from the end. "Yes, Grass," said the witch. "The Theopart lies under a great Deomer, which requires that it can only be successfully sought by contesting mortals. It would be possible for one or more of us to venture forth to gain it, but this action would invoke the power of the Omer, thereby bringing all of the mighty ones of the multiverse to the spot to contend with us for it. Then would many be destroyed, we and they alike, and Earth would shatter asunder under the weight of the forces centered there. So my plan is simple. Better to have family, as it were, contending for the final portion than those whom we must count as enemies. Am I right?" Murmurs of agreement came from all parties in response to that. Then Grast asked, "Zuckmoy, have you a champion for this contest?" Of course, the fungi queen burbled. The huge, ugly toad hopped away from the mound that was Zuckmoy, taking a place of its own next to the demoness, and suddenly changed into an evil-visaged dwarf. "Obmi, bow to King Grast," commanded Zuckmoy. The dwarf lowered his head slightly and briefly, the scowl never leaving his face. At the same time, Grast looked to the side, formed his mouth into a sneer, and elevated his head in an expression of haughtiness and contempt. "And who will you have as yours, then, Dark One?" Yggdrasil asked. Grast, after a moment of thought, gestured to a succubus, somewhere distant on his right side. As she came toward the group, the demon prince uttered a string of barely audible syllables, and by the time she reached Grast's side, her true nature became apparent. This was no real demon, but a drow, one of the evil race of dark elves of Earth. "I present Yclavdra, my chosen representative in your contest," said Grast, to Yggdrasil, pointedly ignoring Zuckmoy and Obmi. "So be it," said the witch. "Now let us set the rules and discuss the distractions we must cause to mask the affair. It would not do to have others of unwanted sort seeking our prize." "Others?" This word came from Grast and Zuckmoy simultaneously. "What I have gleaned, others can also learn," Yggdrasil admitted in a grudging tone. "The Hierophants, the Cable, or that old fart Morden Kanan. Not to mention the Brotherhood, Hades, or Hell's Martinets." "Just what have you learned, human?" Grast snarled. Yggdrasil deliberately did not speak right away. to make the point that she was volunteering information rather than giving it in a response to the demon prince's demand. "The Ashen Desert hides much," she began. "The great metropolis of the empire vanished beneath the dust, is now known only as the City Out of Mind. The masters of the lost empire ruled from that city, and they used the Theopart in their final battle. It lies there now, buried beneath a blanket of dust, so deep that scarcely a trace of the city can be seen from the surface." All right, break. Morden Kanan, that old fart, that's really amusing. As Morden Kanan is, of course, you know, Gygax's character. So, you know, a little jab even at himself there. Now, I'm wondering if the words, you know, they're not mentioning the Sul. They've changed the Sea of Dust into the Ashen Desert. I don't think there was ever a name for the central city in any of the books. So here it's City Out of Mind. And then we learn that the Theopart is how they manage the invoked devastation. It really speaks to the relative power between the Sul Imperium and the Baklunish forces. They ended up crushing each other. And the Sul had very powerful wizards. I don't think Gygax mentions here what kind of power the Bakluni were drawing upon. Clerical power, some deadly spell. But definitely he's saying that the Sul, you know, with the invoked devastation, called upon the third Theopart to bring that down. So I don't know if the Imperium was actually weaker, in a sense, than the Bakluni Empire, or whether they were fairly evenly matched. There had to be some kind of evenness for them both to go to the ultimate weapons and destroy each other. All right, it's page 28, and I'm restarting at paragraph 2. "Why do we use such weak champions as these?" Shuzblok asked in his dripping, bubbling voice. "Only mortals, either humans or their demi-human kin, can retrieve any part of the key which unlocks the sleeper. May this never occur. This fact we know from what has transpired with the two portions already found, and from examination of Diomer surrounding the part yet to be uncovered," said Yggdrasil. "But once a part is found, the mortals discovering it may do with it what they choose. The Brotherhood holds that portion of the artifact attuned to the abyss, and with it they would yoke us in thrall to the slumbering one. Us and I hold the portion which would be able to command the glooms of Hades, should the Theoparts be united. Somewhere in the Ashen Desert, lost within the buried City Out of Mind, rests the last portion of the key, that part commanding the Nine Hells, and their dukes to slavery and obedience. All with power will sense when such a mighty thing comes into ken once again. I will send an army there to guard it," announced grandly. "No," countered Grast. "I will send my demons for it, once it is held by Ycladra." Zuckmoy gave vent to an angry retort at that. "And what if that skinny bitch fails? My own servant Omni will be escorted by a horde of mine own, fiercest. Contain yourselves," Yggdrasil said with a flat, forceful voice. Should such numbers and powers assemble in the Ashen Desert, should such forces even approach it, all will be lost. Think you not that our every move is watched? Do not Do not our adversaries have spies? Only the champions must go. Only they, or more precisely one of them, can return with the object. And to where must these champions return? Asked Grast. Yolakan, in the land of Yol, is favorable, Yggdrasil suggested. Okerfort, in the land of the Sea Kings, is nearest, Grasset said, and less likely to be influenced by your son and puppet. All right, break here. Yes, and it's noted that in 1E, the Abyss has 666 levels. In Planescape, it was infinite, and in the 3E Manual of Planes, it's also infinite. Yeah, because, you know, they're focused on that, and we could explain it as like a parallel universe right here. You know, in Forgotten Realms, Edgrid Greenwood says that the 660 layers was just an estimate, and the have cataloged 679 layers and possibly infinite. I really think the 666 is a better number here. You know, I think it makes a little more sense. All right. I am also a big Gygaxian fan, and unless there's something that strongly I object to, I normally go, you know, follow Gygax's lead. I just think it's his origin, and he has a certain taste for the campaign, which I find is exceptional, and the later material just doesn't quite seem to be up to that level in quality. But that's, you know, that's just, you know, that is a personal opinion. I just think that, you know, this has developed by Gygax, did superior work than a lot of other people. All right. Now, we've got two lands here that have been all altered in name. We have Yol and Yolakand, which... I'm trying to think where that would be. It sounds like Ol, but I'm not sure if it is. He's changed the name of the Paynims, and I thought Ol was more east, and so I'm not quite sure. I don't have my map handy, so it is a transformed name. Now, the Sea Kings are... Who are they? Are they Lordship of the Isles, or are they they're the Sea Princes, I think. Yeah, see, this is south of the Plains of the Paynims, that Yol right there. That's the number three. And the Sea of the Ashen Desert, Sea of Dust, is south, you know, through the bottom area there. So there is a crossover from Yol to this other area, the Barren Plains, but then the other crossing is where I believe that G is, which is the Grand Sewell Peaks, which makes sense, you know, the Great All right. And we've started again. All right. All right, so we've gone over this business about Yolakan, and, you know, we have the name the Ashen Desert has changed, Yolakan, Okerfort, and the Land of the Sea Kings. So I assume that is the Sea Princes there. And so Barren Plains is the dry steppe, yeah. And I'm not sure offhand what Yol is yet, but it's I believe all would be further north. All right. going to restart. It is page 29, and it is the, I believe I'm going to start, Okerfort in the land of the Sea Kings is nearer, Graz said, and less likely to be influenced by your son and puppet. Your son, too, cackled Yggdrasil. Puppet? I am no puppet, Uz said, all but jumping up and down in his rage at Graz's statement. Zuckmoy, queen of the Abyss, says that her champion will carry the Theopart to Yolokand, the fungoid demon burbled. Grast, king of the Abyss, decrees that his minion Ecladra will bring the final portion of the Artifact of Evil to Okerfort in the Sea King's lands, countered the Black Demon. Again Yggdrasil intervened. It is in all of our interest to gain the object. Can we agree that either champion can carry it to either place? Let us say that place is immaterial. Whichever of the two holds the Theopart, when either place is gained, wins for his or her master. Agreed. Can a champion be slain? This came from Uz, who was more than a little irritated about being relegated to the role of an ineffectual onlooker in the matter at hand, and had decided to ascertain, in a rather obvious way, whether he might be able to influence the course of events. Not by the other one, Uz, Yggdrasil replied forcefully. If such were permissible, the contest would not be a true quest for the object itself, but merely a test of the ability to slay or survive. This will be a duel to the end, but not to the death. Above all, we must not lose sight of the need to gain the object for the Abyss. Of course, we do not preclude acts of violence which do not kill, and duplicity and trickery are not only possible, but expected from the contestants such as these. What of assistance? Zuckmoy inquired in her bubbling monotone. If my champion is to travel a great distance to arrive at the city out of mind, whole and sound, so as to recover the object, he must have guards and servants. Oh, all right, break. It is all. I'm sorry. I guess I had been, yeah. All right, so y'all is all. Well, you know, and that's pretty straightforward there. We have that about, and I'm very sure that, Okerfort, and the, Sea Kings are really the, Sea Princes instead of Sea Kings. All right. I'm going to restart. Page 30. And the third paragraph down. After considerable debate, the demons finally agreed that two assistants could accompany each champion. Each could also hire or otherwise retain up to a dozen mercenaries or other sorts of fighters to serve as guards and escorts. Groups of such size, even if all the members of one side traveled together, were small enough to appear normal, yet strong enough to survive in the hostile wilderness and wastelands that would be crossed in their trek. The final stipulations are these, Yggdrasil said. The contestants will begin from Lupalu in the Kingdom of Ket, 14 days hence. From there they will journey overland by any means they possess, or are able to procure, to the Ashen Desert and the City Out of Mind. The journey itself will be taxing, an important part of the contest, and not something to be sneered at. If perchance one of the champions comes to an untimely end on the trek, the other must still locate the Theopart and transport it back to safety. If both champions persevere through the journey to the City Out of Mind, I would not be surprised if fate should contrive to have them both arrive at the last metropolis at the same time. As the witch made that last remark, she allowed a thin smile to play across her face for a moment before concluding. And yet, even being first to locate and hold the item is no guarantee of victory, although such possession is certainly an advantage. The contest does not end until one of the havens is reached. Simply put, whichever champion holds the theoparts safe within Yolokand or Ochre Fort gains it for Grast or Zuckmoy. Agreed, the assembled demons called in chorus, all except for the Cambion. If Igwell's plan came to fruition, Uz stood to gain a great deal, but still he could not keep a frown from spreading across his face. All right, break. That is page 31 and the end of chapter 1. It is 6:56. So we're going to finish up for the night. So here we've gotten rules for this strange contest. I don't know. The contest seems to be, it's locked in with how the Theopart is protected. So that if any one of the gods comes after it, or one of these demons, it's going to summon all others and cause a huge melee that will destroy the earth itself, and possibly destroy everyone trying to retrieve the artifact. It seems a little, much there, but... I don't know. Gygax wants the contest, which is, it's fun, but I think it would have been better if it were simply tied to the agreement between Yggdrasil's side and Grat's side, rather than making it some universal protection. It might be in his mind that they wouldn't do this otherwise, but still, I think it would have been a more interesting thing not to make it. I find that business of it summoning all the gods, and beings from upper and lower planes, I just think it doesn't strike me, as sensible, or why it would be that way. And if they destroy the earth, does it destroy the artifact? I mean, Tharaston is supposed to be, Yeah, so Chris has put up the Hold of the Sea Princes. And we have, which here are the Sea Kings. And then I believe Monmurg, I believe, is the capital. So that would probably, or maybe West Keep. Ochre Fort, West Keep, I think, seems more likely than Monmurg for the Grat's place that he wants the Clavdra to return to. I just wonder why certain of these names, like it's not the Jekla Bay, it's the Jade Bay. So, there's some, Hoker might be too. Yeah, Hoker. Yeah, that would make sense as well. You can see how he likes the continuity of the names, All and Yol. He's when he's forced into this business of coming out with new names for the setting, because he's now publishing this through New Infinities, then I think we really see him trying to make the name sound like the other name. It's a shame. I don't think these names are quite as good as what's on the Greyhawk map. The Sea Kings aren't bad. There's some names that are okay. All and Y'all, they seem fine. Yeah. That they were, but New Infinities really hadn't gotten much of its legs under it at first. There were a handful of modules that came out. and I can think of that there was a town setting, the town of Baltimore. There was a Sheba, Greek Africa, that was by Menzner. There are definitely two modules from New Affinities. So, but yeah, the big thing were those Gord books. All right, it's 7:01, so I'm calling it a night, and we'll continue tomorrow.